This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit on 7 to 9 a.m. Visit us on www.kpulpit.co.za.
To the show. It's myself, Lauren Jacobs, here on Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m., your daily companion, and I'm so grateful it's your daily companion, Voice of Change. If you're driving home, if you just got into your car, I hope that you've had a great day out, a great day maybe at work or out with friends, family, picking up your kids, whatever you are doing, welcome to Voice of Change. Tonight, I'm going to be celebrating something that I've never celebrated before, International Men's Day. Yes, that's right, it is a thing. The 19th of November is actually International Men's Day. Now, I always celebrate International Women's Day, which is the 8th of March, because it is a day where we raise awareness about issues, global issues affecting women. But tonight, while we think about what it means to be a man, we're also going to be going into some good territory tonight, because next week, we know, begins the 16 days of activism against women and children abuse. And it's a big time where we campaign honestly and openly and ardently against abuse. Now, what is abuse got to do with, you know, International Men's Day? Well, I'm joined by a very, very special guest tonight. I'm so excited to have Craig Wilkinson joining me, because Craig is so passionate about authentic masculinity versus toxic masculinity. And that's what we're going to get into tonight. We're going to talk about toxic masculinity. What is it? But Craig has a powerful, powerful story, as well as lessons that he is going to teach us, because he is known as the dad coach. He's an international speaker. He's spoken on so many different topics, but mostly he does amazing work among men in different communities, in different societies all over South Africa, teaching them about authentic masculinity. And you're going to learn tonight what that really means. And we're going to talk about that, because raising good men and being good men will mean that we can begin to eradicate abuse against women and children. And it has to start in our homes, and it has to be that men start to look at themselves, look inside and see what is going on. How have I been taught to be a man? You know, how have I been socialized to be a man? What is happening in my heart, in my life, in my mind? And many times it comes back to down to how we have been raised, how we have been brought up, but how society also expects us to be with one another within ourselves. And so Craig Wilkinson joins me, and I'm so excited for Voice of Change tonight. You have no idea. It's going to be a great show. So get settled in and get buckled up, because Craig is with me after this. We're going to have a great show tonight on Voice of Change, because as I said before the music, I'm joined by Craig Wilkinson. Now, Craig, thank you so much. Firstly, before we get into this exciting conversation, thank you for being a Voice of Change today.
Great to be here with you, Lauren.
And, you know, I know that we've been wanting to have this conversation for such a long time, so now is the time to do it. So it's going to be great. Now, Craig, I know you are phenomenally outspoken on what it means to be a real man, what it means to be a real dad. You've been a TED Talk speaker. You've presented this to multiple audiences across different platforms. And this is such a topic that you are passionate about. And it's really been a journey that you've taken. This is not something that you just jumped into and was like, okay, here I am, I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. It really began with your own journey, your own children as well. Tell us a bit about your awakening to what it means to be a real man and a real dad, because the journey is so important, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. And I think, you know, I always start from the standpoint, we're living in a society, in a world, in fact, where masculinity really is under fire, and a lot of men are feeling like they need to almost justify themselves for being a man, and a lot of men are really confused about what it means to be truly authentically masculine. So, you know, one of the early things that happened to me, my children inspired me more than anything else in the world to step up and be a man, because they need it. They needed me. You know, there was a story where my young daughter Blythe, she's now 24 years old, she was, I think, around 2, and doctors said to us that she would need an operation on her heart. There was a small hole in one of the walls of her heart. And when I took her in for theatre, luckily it wasn't open heart surgery. It's an amazing technology. They put a little catheter into a vein in the groin, and it goes up into the heart and deposits this device that covers the hole. But as she went into surgery, I please, can I just come in with her, hold her, you know, walk her into surgery just so that she's not fearful, because you know, it's quite a scary environment for a young girl to be wheeled into this this theater environment. So they kindly let me, I just scrub up and put on the gown and the mask and gloves and walk into theater, well, carry her into theater in my arms. And they even let me put the mask over her face, the gas mask, they put her to sleep. Anyway, operation was a great success. She came around. I was there when she came around. But a month later, we were at my house, and we were having a braai, and we were standing in a circle outside on the lawn, and my daughter was standing next to me. And one of my friends looked at her and said, "Blythe, I believe you were in hospital recently." And she looked up at him, and she said, "Yes." She said, "My heart was broken." She said, "But my daddy fixed it." Oh. And it was just such an awakening moment, Lauren. I realized, you know, she gave me the gift of seeing myself through her eyes. And I was this hero and this man who could do anything. I fixed her heart. And I realized there and then that I did hold her heart in my hands in the way I fathered her, in the way I raised her, in the way I modeled masculinity to her and to my son, her older brother, was absolutely crucial. So that started this awakening. And I realized that being a father is more than just learning techniques about being a good father. It's about being the man that you want your daughter to be with one day, marry one day, and being the man that you want your son to become one day. So that was really the start of a long journey.
Wow, what an incredibly moving story, and what an incredibly touching story. And again, just so deep that it just set you off on this incredible journey that you've been on now for quite a long time, probably over two decades, right? This is so incredible.
Very much so, yes. And still continuing, you know, we never quite arrive.
Exactly. And what have you, that brings me to thinking, what have you been learning about masculinity this year? 2020. I know it's been about, a lot of it's been about COVID, but we've also had this discussion about, you know, gender-based violence this year. We've seen, and it's been spoken about a lot as well, that, you know, we have these cases that we were suddenly seeing when COVID, you know, just broke out, when we had the lockdown. And what we saw was not that basically gender-based violence was increasing, but possibly that COVID was highlighting the problem we already had, you know, and it was just showing us that when women are locked in houses and when they just can't get out, when they can't go to work, when they can't do certain things, something else is happening. What have you learned something profound about masculinity this year? Has it been something that's been hard for you to see or good for you to know? What has been your sense?
Well, I think, as you said quite rightly, that COVID didn't create anything. It just highlighted things. And what it did is also, I think, any fault lines that existed in people's personalities and marriages and stuff often were exposed and put under more pressure. So what was already there came out more strongly. You know, you have to start on the standpoint of saying that any form of abuse, psychological, verbal, economic, all the different forms of abuse, is completely unmasculine. It's completely not how God intended men to be. Masculinity, as Jesus modeled, you know, is there to serve, absolutely to serve, to love, to honor, protect, provide. And I think one of the things that men do is we place our worth in our ability to provide, and our worth in our material possessions. And I think when that's under threat, the very worst in masculinity can come out. So if your worth is in your job and your money and your ability to provide, and suddenly that's threatened, all kinds of things come out. And I think men and women both have been under huge pressure. Women tend, you know, if you look at a woman who's been retrenched, women, and I'm generalizing a tremendous amount, so forgive me, tend to respond a little better. They're far more relational and nurturing, and they want to look after the family. A man's worth is often affected by that. So what he'll do is he'll withdraw into drinking and all kinds of escapes, and he might become abusive. And often when a man is abusive, it's a deep sense of internal brokenness and woundedness in his sense of masculinity and worth. And a man who feels completely unworthy or inadequate or unvalidated as a man will often either retreat and just become completely addicted to all kinds of things and not step up at all, or he'll lash out and become abusive and dangerous, either to himself or others. So I think COVID's highlighted that. A lot of men are under huge, both, but as I said, men and women often respond differently, under huge pressure, and that pressure brings out this woundedness in their masculinity.
I'm thinking, this is so crucial what you're talking about, because I'm thinking about a number of women that I heard from this year, a number of them saying, you know, that their partners, their husbands had lost their jobs and the woman had kept their job. And then the man gets quite violent and says, you're earning more than me. You're providing. You shouldn't be providing. I should be the provider. And then that anger and, like you said, that brokenness, it just doesn't know how to deal. The man doesn't know how to deal with that. So they become violent. How do we help for something like that? Because maybe there's someone listening today that's thinking, well, that's my situation, or that's my husband. He actually isn't a bad person, or he's never displayed these kind of behaviors before. Now he's dealing with brokenheartedness. He's dealing with the loss of work. You know, maybe he's lost somebody. This is not to excuse the abuse, because that's not what we're doing today. But what if someone is listening and saying, that is my situation? How does that particular man get help? Is there help? Do they need to go and see somebody? What do they need to do to help with those emotions?
It's a great question, and it's such an important one, because, you know, we've seen suicides also increase during this time, and already the suicide rate amongst men is around four times higher than that amongst women, and that's an international statistics. Men commit suicide on average four times more than women, and one of the reasons is we don't talk, we don't share, we don't, you know, we feel, and this is where society can really step in and play a role, in that we need to give men permission to be vulnerable, and we need to give men the message, the true message, that your worth is not in your bank balance. It's not in the size of your biceps or your bank balance. It's the size and the heart of your character and your heart. So if men being, even if they're a stay-at-home dad, even if they've been retrenched and they aren't able to earn a living, by being there for their family, by being morally there and emotionally there and spiritually there, they are being a man. They're being a true man. And if they're doing everything in their power to do what they can to earn a living, and yet the economy is not allowing it, as it isn't for many, many men right now, that does not make you less of a man. It's so important to know. It doesn't make you less of a man. You can still be a man by doing everything you can to love, serve, honor, protect, provide for your family in whatever way you can. And I think that's a key message, because as soon as we put our worth in our ability to earn an income and that gets taken away, then suddenly we believe I'm not a man anymore and nothing matters. And I need to do all kinds of crazy, weird things to prove I'm a man. I get very angry. I get sullen. I often hold it in and don't share it with other men. And that's when I become quite dangerous. So share, talk, and realize that, you know, your job doesn't make you a man. Your character does.
I love that. Where does this message come from that, you know, men can't be vulnerable? Is it something that we as society have actually done? Does it come from cultural beliefs? Does it come from just wrong interpretations of what it means? Does it come from our own fathers? Does it come from our families? Or is it a culmination of all of those things? Where's the root of this? Because I'm wondering, how do we stop this from perpetuating in our children and in our generations to come? How do we cut this root? Where is it coming from?
Well, I think you mentioned all of them. It has emerged through the ages. It's a misinterpretation of all kinds of different things. The funny thing is, there is an element of truth to it. So on the one hand, you want men to always step up and take responsibility. And that requires toughness. And that sometimes requires, you know, this is not the time to cry. This is the time to knuckle down and make it happen. But that's just one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is we're human beings who are vulnerable and who do have moments where we just can't cope. And we need to be able to share that. So both are necessary. You know, that's the concept of being the king, but also being the servant at the same time. It's a concept of being the warrior when it's needed, but the lover as well, and the tender-hearted friend, but also the strong provider. There's two sides of the coin of being a masculine, a man. And I think if we overemphasize the one, you know, and I think society really has played a huge role in that. The messages we give to men, four basic lies that we hear as men growing up, you know, that society propagates, and that's about masculinity, and that's sex, power, money, and big boys don't cry. And a lot of boys grew up looking at these. And unless there's a older man, preferably biological father, but could be a male teacher, grandfather, uncle, who's modeling good, positive masculinity, we tend to get fed those lies. You know, it's about the more woman I have, the more of a man I am, the more power I have, the more of a man I am, the more money I have. And by the way, as a man, I can't be vulnerable. Big boys don't cry. So we grow up believing that about masculinity, and then we try and live that out, and we spend our whole lives trying to prove that we're men. And if you really look at what boys need growing up, they need two things from their father. Number one is they need validation as a man. And as I said, it doesn't have to be a biological father. It can be a stepfather or any other older man. But validation, you know, the message that you are man enough. You've got what it takes. You're the man. That's the number one thing. The number two thing is modeling about true masculinity. That masculinity takes responsibility. It's strong, but it also serves and loves and protects and can be vulnerable. So boys who grow up with this kind of validation from older men and also modeling about masculinity grow up very whole in their masculinity. And when crises, they don't have to react in a very bad way. And I think that's what we need to see. South Africa, up to 60% of kids are growing up without a father. And that's catastrophic because a lot of boys just don't know what it means to be a man and haven't been validated as a man.
Mm. So is this important then as well for, you know, I would think of men in faith communities, men that just, you know, mentor other men as well? Because sometimes it happens that you have a biological father with you, but they themselves are not whole in their masculinity. And then it becomes a thing of when you grow up and become a parent yourself, especially a father, all of a sudden you haven't been given the tools. You don't know how to deal with, you know, your own children. Yes. You don't know how to model that masculinity. So isn't it a bit of a challenge then, a good one for those people that are maybe listening to us, for people that we'll meet further in our life, to say, you know what, as men, come to that place of wholeness in your masculinity, but help other men as well. Mentor. It doesn't matter how old they are. Be there for them. Teach them, guide them, help them. Is that a challenge that we should take on board for ourselves?
100%. You know, I wrote a little booklet around called The Six Virtues of a Champion Man. And one of those virtues is champion men, good men, authentic men, mentor the next generation. We need to step up and mentor, particularly in a nation where there's a lack of fathers. But you so rightly hit the nail on the head that so many men themselves haven't been mentored. And I think what we need to do is mentor each other as men, stand with each other, because that's one of the other virtues of a masculine man is he forms a band of brothers. And bands of brothers honor each other. They sharpen each other. They are vulnerable to each other. They support each other. You know, so this band of brothers, so every man should be mentoring the next generation, have a band of brothers, you know, cross-generational, and also be seeking out mentors. And sometimes those mentors are people you never meet. You know, they can be YouTube clips. They can be great authors. They can be, you know, all sorts of we can look to garner what it means to be a true man. So absolutely, that, you know, wounded men become men who wound, and the cycle continues. So we need to break the cycle by, number one, looking at our own masculinity, looking in the mirror, and going on the journey of becoming whole ourselves, and number two, mentoring the next generation so that whatever bad happened in the past in my generational line stops with me, and whatever I pass on is good stuff.
Well, I love that. And I love that as well as what you said. Could be someone teaching, you know, a YouTube clip, or it could be a TED talk even.
Absolutely.
Or it could be, you know, authors that 100%. You read. And I remember my husband, when we were dating many years ago, he read a book by Eric Ludi, you know, and it was about, it was called The Bravehearted Gospel, and it was all about what we're talking about today. And
right.
It really, really helped him. And again, you'll never meet that individual, but the impact that they have in your life is so profound. And so, again, to maybe the men that are listening, to the wives that are listening, or the moms that are listening, sometimes I know there's that struggle to find that mentor that you really want to have in the physical, you know, you want to have them with you. But it's okay to get onto YouTube or, you know, find a good book that really does mentor you. And that's something that can powerfully give into your life. We're going to take a short song break because I have so much more to talk to Craig about. And I just do not want anyone who is listening today to go anywhere. So this is Jeremy Camp's Keeping in the Moment. When we get back, Craig is still with us, and we're going to go deeper into a little bit of talking about toxic masculinity. So enjoy the song. You're with me, Lauren Jacobs, on Voice of Change today, and we're having such a great conversation going deeper into, you know what, masculinity. Also, we're talking a little bit about fatherlessness. That's what we've been touching on, and how to be a good mentor. But now, Craig, I want to ask you about a word that some people don't really like to hear about or talk about. I know it does ruffle some feathers sometimes, but it's that word, toxic masculinity. Now, I know it's just a word, but it is a reality. What should we understand about toxic masculinity? How are we seeing it playing out in our world today? You know, what do you have to say on this topic, really? Because some people don't like this word. They feel exposed by it. They feel it doesn't really apply to them. What should we understand about it?
Well, we need to understand that, number one, it is a reality. Masculinity can go wrong. But we need to understand that it's not authentic masculinity. That true authentic masculinity as designed by God is a powerfully beautiful, wonderful gift to humanity. So we need to come from the standpoint that true masculinity, authentic masculinity, is a wonderful gift to humanity, to communities, families, society, the world as a whole. Toxic masculinity is when masculinity is wounded and misguided. So it really results out of those two things. Men that are wounded in their masculinity, they don't feel adequate, they don't feel enough. And so they have to prove themselves or act in bad ways because they think that that's what they need to do to be a man. And then the second one is misconceptions about what it means to be a man. So if we as men come from the standpoint that, you know, authentic masculinity is beautiful and powerful and good, it's a gift. Toxic masculinity is a distortion of masculinity and something that needs to be dealt with. Then there's no need for anyone's feathers to be ruffled. We need to say, well, let's deal with it. So I think where we've gone wrong as a society is we throw the baby out with the bathwater. So what we do is, and I like to use the example of cancer. When a body has a cancerous growth, what doctors do is they apply chemotherapy. And chemotherapy attacks the entire body, not just the cancer. And the hope is that the cancer dies before the body does. And you've seen people. I mean, it's very, very tough and difficult. People, hair falls out, nausea happens, they get very weak. And we've done the same, I think, masculinity. We've attacked the whole of masculinity instead of just attacking the cancer. And the cancer is toxic masculinity. So the solution for toxic masculinity is healthy masculinity. If you have men standing up and saying, you know what, I'm going to be a good man. I'm going to be a Christ-like man. I'm going to live as a king, but as a servant as well. I'm going to be tender, loving. Every single person in my presence is safe. They're safe emotionally. They're safe physically. If I live my life as that, then on my watch, no toxicity will happen because I won't allow it. I will never speak badly of women. I'll never joke in a lewd manner about women. I'll never treat them or speak badly. You know, if I do that and I make sure that everyone around me knows that, what will begin to happen is toxic masculinity will disappear. If men step up as fathers and mentors and role models and model the right kind of masculinity and fathers get involved from day one, in loving them and modeling good masculinity, protecting them, then toxic masculinity will disappear from our world. And that's what we need to do. So the challenge to every man is to say, what do I think is how am I behaving as a man? How am I pitching up to the world, to my marriage, to my fatherhood, to my work, to my community, to my country as a citizen? How am I pitching up as a man? Am I pitching up as the kind of man God made me to be? And if I am, Then I can make sure that I'm doing the very best I can to eliminate negative masculinity and toxic masculinity. And that's our challenge as men.
Well, I love this conversation that we're having, and I'm thinking a little bit more about authentic masculinity. And it seems like such a big thing when we listen to it. We think it sounds like we're going to have to do some radical changing, especially in our nation. Not so. We have, like you said, 60% of our men are growing up without fathers. I mean, that father wound must be so incredibly deep, and the reality of that. So it seems like we have a lot of work to do, specifically in this nation, but also I'm thinking then also of our faith communities, because our faith communities can and should be places of healing, places of wholeness. We know that people are broken, and we know that it doesn't always happen that way. But have you seen authentic masculinity displayed in maybe places that you visited or places that you've gone? Have you seen that hope of what it could really look like? It's not just the challenge that we have to face and the work that we have to do. Have you seen this model? Have you seen it displayed? What did that look like? What did it feel like?
Oh, Lauren, to answer your question, I've seen wonderful men in Africa. You know, we're privileged enough to work in communities around the country, rich and poor, and everything in between. And wherever I go, I see good men. You know, I see broken men. I see men who have been unmentored and don't know what it means to be a man, but I see very good men. We've got mentors around the country, and they just step up every single day, and they do their best to provide for their families. They love their wives, they love their children, they love their community. So yes, South Africa is full of amazing men, and what we need to do is we need to grow the army of good men, because the more we grow positive masculinity, the more negative masculinity will just fall by the wayside.
Craig, if someone is listening right now, a male listener that's listening and saying, Craig, I want to take this journey I just don't know how. You know, I didn't have a father. I wasn't modeled proper fatherhood. My father wasn't present, maybe. You know, maybe he was, but he wasn't emotionally there. And I know that I'm broken in my masculinity. How can I take the journey? What could be the first step? What advice would you give to that person listening? You know, a couple of steps to get started on the journey towards healing and also that authentic masculinity.
Right. I think number one, just realize that you are very, very important, that your life truly matters, that you're designed to be a gift to this world. You know, start from that standpoint. Secondly, realize, you know, the fact that you've acknowledged that you need, you're on a journey, you need help is fantastic, because that's the start of a journey, isn't it? I mean, we start our faith journey with repentance, with a realization of our need. Thirdly, reach out and you know, start the journey by finding great books. There's a beautiful book written by John Eldridge called Wild at Heart. Fantastic book about manhood. There's so many YouTube clips. We have an online, a free online course available at Father in Nation, www.fatherination.co.za/no-excuse. And that's just it's a free course, a few videos, a few exercises, some reading material. Fantastic thing you can do it in 2 hours at whatever time you want. You can do it in bits and pieces. Those kinds of things you can do to begin to start this journey of just becoming aware. And the other thing that is so crucial is find a man you can talk to, a man or a group of men. Start a band of brothers, you know, guys that you can share with. You can say, you know, geez, I'm struggling, man. I've lost my job, or I don't think I'm earning enough, whatever it is that's, and share that with another man, because when you do that, you give other men permission to do the same. You know, the best way to get a man to be vulnerable is to be vulnerable to him, because then he's got permission. So if you start to form that band of brothers and a group of men that just band together and help each other. So often men get together. You know, we get together and we watch a game of rugby or soccer or cricket, and we have a beer, and, you know, we share that kind of camaraderie. But we don't often share our hearts. And I think by doing that, we can really help each other on this journey.
That is so cool. So that is really how to begin this journey. For you that's listening maybe today, saying you want to start the journey, you want to go forward, we really pray that you will be able to pick that up and to move forward as well, because we need, exactly like Craig said, we need an army of men who have authentic masculinity and who can be empowered in that way and also can learn that vulnerability. Now, Craig, you know what? I'm thinking that very, very soon it's going to be the 16 days of activism against women and children abuse. We have these 16 days. We know that it's almost bittersweet, because we have this time where we can talk a lot about abuse. We can do all these things, get involved in campaigns, but it's something we should be thinking about, we know, throughout the whole year. Is toxic masculinity and this brokenheartedness something that connects with gender-based violence? I know we've kind of touched on this, but what should men be thinking about during these 16 days of activism? Is this really a time for reflection? Is it truly a time to be thinking, you know, where am I at as a man? What's going on in my life? And also, though, there are amazing men who are not, you know, abusive. How can they get involved? What should be their message? What should be happening in this time? What would be your challenge to men, not only during these 16 days of activism, although it is coming up and it's important, but maybe throughout the year?
Well, no, great question, Laura. Number one, look at yourself. Look in the mirror. You know, say, am I a good man? Am I a man that can hold my daughter's and my son's heart in my hand and guard it? Am I being a good role model? You know, is my life worth following? There's a lovely story about a guy in England who was sitting in a pub one evening. He used to go home from work every day and go straight to the pub and have a beer. And he felt a tugging on his elbow, and he looked around, and there was his five-year-old son. And he said, "Oh, son, how did you find me in the pub?" And he said, "Oh, Dad, it was easy. I just followed your footprints in the snow." And I think, you know, it was a revelation to him, because he realized that, you know, he was leaving footprints, and where were they leading? So first thing he needs to do is say, where are my footprints leading? Are they leading to the tavern or the pub or a bad place? Do people feel safe in my presence? And I'm not just talking physically. I'm talking emotionally. Do I use my words well? Do I use my touch and my time and my finances well, so that people around me, people in my inner circle, my family, do they feel affirmed and loved and built up? You know, so that's the first thing. Look at yourself. You know, if every man looked at himself and said, I want to make a total commitment to be a good man, making everyone in my presence feel better off because I'm with them. My children, my wife, my whoever it is, my colleagues, this country, make this world a better place. if we as men commit to saying, whatever I touch will be better because I touch it. Whoever I'm with will be better off because I've been in their presence. Wherever I've gone, that place is better because I was there. If we can make that commitment, that alone will just turn things around completely. So it's got to start with self. And then it starts with reaching out, you know, reaching out to other men and brothers and being the mentor and being the role model. Absolutely. So there's a lot that we can do and that we need to be doing every single day.
Craig, I want to say thank you so, so much for being with me today. It's been such an incredible blessing, not only, I know, for the listeners, but also for me. And just for anybody that wants to know more about the organization, Father a Nation, how can they connect? And you mentioned this amazing course, which I'm going to share right again at the end. How can they connect with Father a Nation? Is there websites? How can they get more info?
Absolutely. There's a website. And in fact, when you log into the website, you automatically get sent a free booklet around authentic masculinity. So it's just www.fatheranation.co.za. And on there, you can see all the different kinds of programs we do and connect with us. You can drop us a mail as well at hello@fatheranation. And we'd be happy to respond as soon as we get a chance. But and the course, absolutely. Please, you know, I would really encourage every man during the 16 days to do that course and spread it around as much as possible. It's a free course and it's a great tool for becoming equipped in this fight against gender-based violence.
I'm going to be sharing that course with all my male friends and contacts during this time. it's going to go everywhere.
Tremendous.
And you know what? It's just so great to have something like that. That's a powerful, powerful tool. So thank you so much. And lastly, in closing, Craig, what is your vision for 2021 for, you know, masculinity in South Africa? Is there something that's burning on your heart that you want to take into 2021? Is there a vision you want to see? Is there a dream that's been placed inside of you? Maybe a seed sown that you know that you've been given and needs to germinate. What would your vision for masculinity be for 2021?
Oh, absolutely. I've got a vision of lions roaring and coming out from out around the country. And when I say lions, I mean men standing up and being good men, standing up and saying, not on my watch, standing up and saying, I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to love, to honor, protect, provide. And men just coming into their own and standing up throughout this nation in parliament, in corporations, in churches, in faith communities, in every community. And just real men standing up and saying, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be it. I'm going to be noisy as a good man. And we're going to form this army of good men, this band of brothers throughout South Africa, and we'll change the nation around. Because as men do that and say, not on my watch, and begin to live as warrior servants, then our nation will change. And that's the passion of my heart, and that's what we're pushing for, to get millions of men involved in being good men.
Thank you so much, Craig. And I really want to just say, I really just hope that you are super, super blessed. I pray such blessings over you and everything that you are doing. Thank you for what you are not only bringing to our communities, to our, you know, societies, but thank you for what you're doing for people and ultimately for the nation of South Africa. It's a huge blessing. And this is a message, and not only a message, but a lifestyle that needs to be lived, authentic masculinity. And it's something that I truly believe a lot of women are longing for as well. You know, longing to see good men, longing to see our men be good men, you know, our husbands being good men, our sons, our nephews, our grandchildren, whomever they may be, being good men and taking hold of that, because that gives us permission to actually feel safe and to actually not be worried and wondering, are we going to be okay around this man, or is it going to be okay around this person? It gives us permission to be free and safe and to feel good within our community. So thank you so much for what you are doing. I just really pray blessings over Father a Nation and your family, amazing family. And again, thank you so much for everything that you are doing.
Thank you, Lauren. Wonderful talking to you.
Take care.
Hello, I am Dr. Marius Skalikom. Join us every Monday afternoon at 4:15 for our Abu Bible Counseling Program. You will also have the opportunity to ask your questions or send them to the studio via WhatsApp. Start with the word Abu, A-B-B-O, and your question. Mondays, 4:15 on Radio Cape Pulpit, 729 AM.
It's been so great to have Craig with me on the show. I feel as though I am so blessed and my heart is so full because it's exciting and it's a huge blessing to hear that there are men who are achieving authentic masculinity. And that's not to point a finger at men, but we know that we have a scourge of domestic violence, gender-based violence, and rape in South Africa. And it has led many people to ask, what are the men of our country doing? We know, and I know, because I know many, many great men. I'm blessed to call them friends and family. And the reality is that men are achieving this authentic masculinity. There are many men that are. And for those who are struggling too, I really want to encourage you again to go on over to fatheranation.co.za. As Craig shared it with us, and there is a beautiful, beautiful course that you can go through for free. Please go on over to that. And the course is part of the No Excuse for Abuse. There's a Father Nation Academy. There's so much that you can go on over and explore on the website that you can maybe do in your home cell or in your cell groups or maybe in your church groups, maybe in your men's groups. You know, it's so good for men to join together, encourage one another, hold one another accountable, and bond together, not at the expense of women where there is that toxic masculinity happening, but to be better men. And this is so encouraging. My prayer really is tonight that we will see men of God really, really rising up in our generation, men of God that are completely sold out to Him and that will stand up and hold others accountable for abuse. You know, it's like Craig said, he said that men were not meant to be, you know, scary to the woman in their life or their children, but they were meant to be scary and dangerous to the enemy, to that which is bad, to injustice. And that should be the ultimate. You know, you shouldn't be scary or make your partner fearful or make your family or your children fearful. But you know what? The enemy should be fearful of you because you are a man of righteousness. And may that be the standard and the goal for the men who are listening tonight. It's been so good to be with you. Happy International Men's Day. And you know what? See you next week. Take care.
There is radio and radio. And then there is Radio Cape Pulpit on 729 AM. Can you hear the difference?
This insert was brought to you by Radio Cape Pulpit on 729 AM. Visit us on www.capepulpit.co.za.